me levantan, me llamó mi casa, estaba en California, por teléfono, y me dijo que oyó una entrevista de una hora y media a nivel nacional de todos los Estados Unidos, hablando sobre la situación panameña y sobre la música y toda esta vaina. Fíjate tú, en todos los Estados Unidos, esta vaina se escuchó en todos los Estados Unidos. Y digo, bueno, pues, ese tipo me entrevistó y yo, sin ningún tipo de interés, un segundo más, se me olvidó otra vez. Le di la entrevista, pues, sin pensar que, ¿no?
Voices from our America. Today is Saturday, 6 July 2008, and we are interviewing Mr. Francisco Buckley from Panama, who has been a musician for a long time. So let's hear Mr. Buckley addressing issues on his life to Voices from our America.
Okay, my name is Francisco Buckley. I just want one name, Francisco. And my parents' name, my father was Buckley Parkins from, he born in Panama, but his family or his parents came from Jamaica to work on the railroad and the canal, Panama Canal. And I born in what we call in those times the canal zone, zona del canal. Canal zone, well, a lot of us know, or a lot of people that talk about it know that the canal zone had several parts where people from the West Indies and some came from Central America and whatnot, some from India and other places used to live. The Americans used to live in another side. Oh, I have all that related in a book I wrote about music in Panama. But I'm going to try to don't go too long because I could sit here for 2 days and relate all what I live. As you know, or as you're hearing now, maybe I don't speak English so good now. But I can tell you that when I opened up my eyes, that's the first language that I can remember. Because in the canal zone, for instance, in La Boca, where my parents used to live, everybody there used to speak English. See, in La Boca, it was very close to the barrio de Chorrillo, and I can tell you, when we get up, when I say get up, when we was racing the way, we had a lot of people from the Caribbean, from Central America, and all of us used to speak English. That's why today I understand English and I can write it, but I can't speak it so fluently, because up to date the language in this country is Spanish, and all of us after the Americans left the canal zone, we had to come, a lot of us, to schools in Panama, and we have to re-educate ourselves and language and things like that. So that's my difficulty in speaking English fluently, like our people do. In my case, it's worse yet, because when I came out of La Boca, I'm going to go back to La Boca but I have to tell you that when I came out with La Boca, my parents took us to a place in Panama, where a barrio, where all of the Italians used to live. So I didn't have around too much West Indies people or people that left the canal zone, to come over to stay in Panama. So I went to live in that in barrio, they call it, right? And I all we speak there was Spanish. And I can tell you, when I reached there and my other two brothers, none of us knew a word in Spanish. We learned Spanish in Vista Hermosa, and we learned Spanish in school, but not even my parents. My mother used to sing in Spanish, but she couldn't talk in Spanish, things like that, you know? So that's where we grew up. But I want to go back more, a little more about La Boca and my parents grew up there. I born in 1940. I have today 68. I can talk to you about epoca.
Period,
no? Epoca is what?
Period.
Uh-huh. I can talk about that. I can tell you that growing up in the Canal Zone, it's a study that I'm doing right now, and I'm talking to people that is with that grew up in my
time.
You know, a lot of them, because as I told you a while ago, my experience as a Panamanian, a descendant from West Indies, and my experience with other friends of mine, Panamanians too, with descendants from experience, you know, is two experiences completely different. You know? And I hope I will have a lot more time to talk about this. I'm so sorry I couldn't do it in Spanish, because in Spanish I can speak more fluently anyway, but I will try. A Panamanian that after the United States began the treaty and they were supposed to leave the zone, all of the West Indian people had to come out who didn't went to the United States or who didn't went back to the islands. They had to come and live in the territory, Panamanian territory. So all of us, when we come to live in this Panamanian territory, had to get accustomed and adapt ourselves. And what happened? Those that never study, and that is very, very important, education. Those that didn't continue their education, today there's still a lot of them walking around taking drugs and living in areas where when they left the Canal Zone, they went into that area. They're in bad conditions. Those that had a little education or more education, those got integrated into the Panamanian government system and laws. And those today are Panamanians, but a lot of them that don't within forget where they come from. And I can mention a lot of lawyers and a lot of engineers and came out of the Canal Zone from West Indies families and did what they had to do, because we're born in this country and this is our country and we are Panamanian. We can be black, yellow, green, but we're Panamanians, right? So when really we used to live down there in La Boca, for instance, La Boca, as a lot of people know, is the entrance of the canal from the Pacific side. A lot of us, this system, American indoctrination system, they had us a rinconado. I don't know what you call a rinconado in English.
Cornered
in groups, you know, and with the discrimination system about gold roll and silver roll and all of that, they had us, you know. And the young people like myself from in those times, I'm talking about 1940, 1930, we used to think that we didn't, who born here? For instance, I born here in the country, but I born in the, what they call, in Balboa Hospital, this hospital is and come as come. As come.
Garbage
has begun. I'm born in garbage has begun. No? But, and I could take an American citizenship and a Panamanian citizenship because I have friends that did that. That are living right there in the United States. They didn't have problems in get with a lawyer to do it. But anyway, I didn't do it, and today my kids talk to me about that. They ask me, why you didn't do that? But my mind wasn't in that. And my parents, I think they weren't in that either, because they took us out to a different place today. In La Boca, we have to, every afternoon we have a lot of what I call a stone war against the Americans on the other side, in Balboa. Every day at 3-4 o'clock, we have a stone war, throwing stones to the gringos on the other side, and they're throwing stones to us on the side. That's in La Boca, where baseball stadium used to be, and the ground, baseball ground. And I never forget that. And to not make it so long, in where the Pier 16, Pier 17, in Balboa is today, I used to go around there and pick up mangoes too. Not stealing, just picking up from the floor. And once an American policeman arrested me just for picking up mangoes. And my parents had to go to Balboa, take me out, and he accused me of some stupid mess. Anyway, those are the most important experience. And I used to say, where I belong. Am I a Panamanian or am I an American? Or I know I was in the West Indies because I was born in Panama. But anyway, they had us in that situation that we didn't know, some of us, what was our future. And a lot of us.
What were your parents doing meanwhile? While all this was, they were living on the internet, what were they doing as far as job is concerned?
Okay, my father used to work in Canazon. He used to work in a hangar in I remember, Pan American World Airways. They had a hangar in Canazon. And my mother used to work in a commissary, in La Boca commissary.
Commissary.
And every part of the family used to work in the canal zone. But they were second or third class employees, right? Because the Americans had the first class. And some of the white Panamanians, what we call Rabbi Blancos, today they call them Zonians, they used to have some of them the gold rule too because they were white. And most of them married to white Americans and so on like that. And up to today, they still, some of them are still living in this country and still have that in their minds. No? And that's what my parents what used to do when they were there. So, to continue.
Can you talk to us about schooling? Where did you go to school?
Okay.
How far did you reach? How did you get into music?
Okay, for instance, I can remember schooling, it was a little different from it today. I remember in the Canal Zone, some of us never went to an organized school. We had teachers, special West Indies teachers, very, very good teachers, that used to teach you, you know, directly. And when I came over to Panama, is when I had to go through all the, from first grade in a Panamanian speaking Spanish school. There, I had about 12, 13 years age when my parents left the Canal Zone to come in to the whole system, the whole family system. Anyway, the things wasn't so right for us, for West Indian Panamanian people in the Canal Zone. But when all of this revolution and nationality system and province came in, is when a lot of us, a lot of Panamanian today, what I would call West Indies, exitosos, exitosos Panamanian, are still alive and giving our best to this country. Because if we had continued living there, all we were turning into is to be a slave, the American people's slave, because of what used to happen down there. Or the worst job that I see my father, or well, not my father, but I see other friends. I have to work so hard in the canal, and they couldn't go further word and further from where they got to, right? So the experience down there, I can't say everything was bad. I can't say everything was bad. But we have more percentage of negative than positive for people that was progressing. Okay, so when I left the canal zone now and we came to Panama, my two brothers, one's name is Anthony and one is Ernesto. We had a wonderful experience that we are living up to the age that we have today. We had to go to school. We in the Vista Hermosa area, the barrio of Vista Hermosa, before we began. When I came out of the canal zone, I was educated. I can't remember the name of a teacher, but I had a personal teacher, my brother too. And so when I came to come to school there, my age was a little advanced to go in, and they put us in first grade. All three of us went into first grade in the school by the name of Ricardo Miró. That's a prime primary school, primaria, no? Ricardo Miró in Vista Hermosa.
Elementary
school. When I get there, I was so advanced in what the little that I learned with my personal teacher, that I had two examinations, and first they passed me to second, and from second grade they passed me to sixth grade. So I never go on escuela primaria, elementary school, complete, because they made too many two examinations, and I went straight up, and I passed all. So when I left that school, I went to the school by the name of Artes y Oficio. In that school, I went there because my parents, living in Vista Hermosa, it was more close to the place where I used to live. And I used to walk to that school in the Transilvan Highway and walk back. In the Artes y Oficio is where I began to interest about music. But before that, my parents, my father's parents from Jamaica, my father and my grandmother and grandfather from Jamaica, they had a piano in their home. And that's one thing I will always try to give into my sons too. I remember in your day, nearly all these people used to teach or used to have a piano or some instrument in their home. And a lot of them used to play the piano. What we call West Indies people were really the new generation were Panamanians. And my interest came in Vista Hermosa when my grandmother used to live there too. They had a piano, and I have an uncle. Two uncles were musicians, used to be playing the piano all of the time, and when nobody was in around, I used to go and sit at the piano and try to play, and my grandmother comes from the bedroom, angry, and used to tell me, get off of that, because they never wanted, none of them wanted me to be a musician. They didn't want us to be, with the musician, I don't know, in those times, they had all kind of thinking about musician, and they never gave me a chance to be a musician. So, in Vista Hermosa, I went to school, to the Artes y Oficio, and in school, when I was in school, I had a teacher by the name of Francisco Bruce. Francisco Bruce was West Indian Panamanian two professor, and he used to teach music and he used to teach mathematics and other type of subjects. There with him is where all of us can begin to think about music. I had a friend by the name of Felix Wilkins, a very, very good flutist that left the United States very, very young, and we used to be together. Both of us went to the band in the school, and that's where we began. With Wilkins and a guy by the name of Daniel Clowes playing drums, we began our first experience in music. There, I went to the, years after, I went to the Conservatorio Nacional de Música for a few years and studied a little. Then from there, I jumped into the best bands that was in the country. Now, all of this is a book, each part of what I'm trying to tell you is a book apart. So I'm going to go over very, very quickly over the sequencing, right? Then I went first, I played with Daniel Clowes, Felix Wilkins, he made this band, and there, from there I went to a band by the name of a poet, Tito Boves, and we began to get into the music business, learn, and playing with the best bands in Panama. I went to play after with Armando Bosa band, the famous Clarence Martin band for years, used to work with him, until I decided to make my own band. And it wasn't so easy. It wasn't so easy at all. Anyway, I want to go back a little about the West Indian people, the what I would call the what they did in the Panamanian culture too, in the arts part, right? I don't know, you people try to understand my mixed up English, but I think you would understand it.
At this time, maybe we can allow you to speak a little in Spanish. Give us some details in Spanish.
Okay. So, cuando empezamos ya a hablar sobre, a trabajar sobre la música en Panamá, la música popular, ¿no? Yo tenía grandes maestros. Y mi gran maestro, uno fue Armando Bosa, el otro fue, y menciono estos dos, porque fueron muchos más, que fue Clarence Martin, que para mí fue tanto como un amigo, un padre, y un verdadero maestro de la música. Y ahí empecé a observarlo, a cómo él operaba, a cómo él administraba a los músicos, ¿no? Pero al punto que quería llegar atrás cuando cambié de inglés para español es que el aporte que dimos nosotros, los negros panameños o los antillanos panameños, a la cultura panameña, ¿no? Podría decir que fue grandísima ese apoyo y que fueron muchos que tal vez han desaparecido o han pasado desapercibidos en este país últimamente, que no se le menciona. Pero yo me acuerdo que las grandes orquestas, la mayoría de los músicos, los directores de las bandas eran antillanos panameños, aquí. En esa generación, la nueva generación, he visto muy poco. Pero vuelvo y repito, estoy haciendo una tesis con respecto a la situación de la nueva generación de West Indies panameños, o sea, de panameños de antillanos, y yo estoy de acuerdo con Balmaceda y con otras personas. Que podemos, los panameños de esta generación, podemos ahora conversar con ellos porque ellos han entendido lo que yo les voy a decir. Hoy día, mis hijos, ejemplo, son panameños nacidos aquí como yo, pero ellos vienen de una tercera generación de que no conocieron lo que yo conocí la semana pasada, por lo menos. Yo fui a Jamaica a conocer, por lo menos de donde vinieron mi abuelo y me he quedado completamente sorprendido y me he quedado feliz de ser lo que yo soy hoy día, un panameño completamente, ¿no? Todavía en el 2008 en que estamos viviendo hay gente de mi generación y de generaciones anteriores que han pasado tantos años aquí y que todavía están pensando en 1920 o 1930. No se han, no han entrado en la cultura nacional, no están haciendo aporte a la cultura nacional. Sin embargo, y esto es bien difícil de explicar porque hay mucha gente que lo tomarán por otro lado, pero es la realidad. Hay que tomarlo por el lado positivo. Yo no me siento inferior a un panameño blanco o un panameño más blanco que yo, no. Yo me siento igual. Yo tengo la misma cédula. Yo nací aquí, yo sé dónde nací y mis padres nacieron aquí también. Ah, tenemos la suerte, yo diría, de haber sido levantado en un lugar donde se hablaba inglés, porque eso nos queda. Yo no hablo muy bien el inglés, pero yo lo entiendo perfectamente, porque eso era lo que mi padre hablaba en la casa, ¿verdad? Y eso esa facilidad que tenemos hoy en esta época de la vida y del mundo, donde hoy día acaban de pasar una ley hace unos meses que para graduarse de la Universidad Nacional de Panamá tú tienes que saber el idioma inglés. Si no han pasado por inglés, no te den el diploma ahora, ¿no? Ya nosotros, de hace tantos años, pues, estábamos en esa transición, pues, ya hemos llegado a eso.
¿A dónde llegó tu nivel de educación?
Bueno, yo fui hasta la universidad. Yo salí del arte y oficio hasta tercer año. De ahí me fui, tuve un año en el instituto y cuando vinieron los problemas, yo me fui a la Escuela Técnica de Contabilidad, donde me gradué de contador. Yo realmente, mi profesión es la contabilidad. Lo he trabajado por 13 años en el instituto, en el IME, Instituto de Hidráulico, ¿no? Y allá fui auditor hasta que me jubilé, ¿no? Pero yo me integré totalmente a nuestro sistema y es un pedido que yo hago como antillano panameño. Y yo quisiera que todos nosotros los antillanos panameños empecemos a utilizar el término. ¿Por qué? Porque yo mismo también, como que me equivocaba en mi libro, yo puse una parte en afro-antillano. Nosotros no somos afro-antillanos, somos antillanos panameños, ¿verdad? Porque los africanos, más yo te digo, mis abuelos por parte de mi padre no vinieron de África, vinieron de Holanda.
Can we go back and tap it in our English a little bit more? Voices from our America and their list of questions asked here for you to answer. Have you ever heard of Louis Bennett?
Ah, sí, yeah. For instance, other musicians, I have to go in places. I go back. As a musician, I have the opportunity to go places and to talk to people from all types of nationality living in this country. Yeah, I heard about Louis Bennett through Clarence Martin and So Green and these musicians that I used to work with. That all of us used to speak English. So we got to know all these people. And the other person,
Sparrow.
Well, when I begin as a musician, I come from the bar. I used to play calypso, and we used to play Mighty Sparrow's sound. You see, with Fred Anglin and other guys that are professional musicians.
Have you seen Mike Sparrow perform?
No, I never seen because I didn't have the opportunity to go to the shows when you used to come here. You know? But last week when I was in Jamaica, people know him. But Jamaica has such a drastic change today that all those guys like Sparrow and so on, they disappear. They disappear. Because who control the popularity now is Bob Marley and those guys, you know?